T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
What's trending?
All right, let's check in on the hot topics. Trending.
And number one is that news of the reduced capacity expectation for games in 2020 out at Arrowhead. So the Chiefs did announce that single game ticket sales plan with no 2020 season tickets. So if you're a Chiefs season ticket holder, there will not be season tickets this year. Again, they'll be credited, or you can, of course, give them a call and if needed and want to have a refund instead. I mean, look, we've seen something similar across the NFL already. The Steelers were one of the first teams to kind of do this. I think everybody realized there was a very good chance that it was going to be reduced capacity, if not none at all. And so in the release, it mentions they couldn't come up with really a fair way, essentially, to choose who's sitting where and how are we going to turn. So this was the way they went about doing it. It's also interesting, it mentions about the single game tickets going on sale if there's reduced capacity, that they're only going to sell tickets for the preseason, if there's a preseason, and the first few games of the regular season. So normally, all right, single game on sale and you can buy tickets in December.
I kind of like that Raiders game and whatever. Yeah.
Sure. That's not going to be the case. It's going to be maybe that Texans game, those first 3 or 4 home games, and that's it. And of course, that leaves the door open for both the positive, which is all of a sudden,
maybe more TC,
or
the
negative, which is we don't know if we're going to have anybody at that point.
And we don't want to have to keep issuing refunds.
And again, it's just they have to have all their options open. Nobody should be surprised by this. Yeah, of course, if you're a season holder, it's probably it's a bummer, right? Like, a lot of things have been a bummer throughout this, right? I'm sure the Chiefs are very bummed out that this has been happening.
Add this to the bummer list.
Yeah.
Like you're keeping a list at home on your fridge, like the groceries. Cody's COVID bummer list. Season tickets get canceled, for one. Number two for what's trending, FIFA is taking a closer look at the World Cup for Kansas City as they try to narrow down their possible field of play. You know, Kansas City still, I don't know if front runner is the right word, but still near the top of the list for potential sites for that 2026 FIFA World Cup. It's hard to imagine even hosting events right now. But they do have competition. Cities like Denver and others will be considered. Kathy Nelson, who's over at the Kansas City Sports Commission, said, "We all got caught up, held our breath when Big 12 was canceled, but we're feeling good about, you know, our possibility here." They understand that this is not an easy thing to get.
Oh,
every
man.
Single major city in the U.S. wants it. I'm just hoping Kansas City's really good history as a soccer town right now is going to push them over the edge. They've got really good facilities, really good history as a soccer town, and I've never seen a World Cup game. That would be awesome. I don't even care the two teams. It would be the U.S.
Correct.
I just want to watch a World Cup game.
And there's a very good chance it wouldn't be the U.S.
New York or LA.
Which is totally fine. That's not what you're going for. You just want to be one of those honored host cities. And it certainly doesn't hurt when you see anytime there has been major soccer matches, though. What do they do? They cut to a live shot at Power and Light in Kansas City.
Yeah, every single World Cup.
And you can see the energy that's there. We saw it during the Women's World Cup. I mean, it was awesome to see. And that
was only a year ago. That feels like a decade ago.
It does. It at least feels like 4 or 5 years ago. No,
I just found
about
like
that.
A video Ruby, like my kid had made, where she was like pretend sipping the tea, like like Alex Morgan.
Hey. Knows? So that's hopefully a positive announcement down the road to come for Kansas City. Next up on what's trending, now 3 Royals players have tested positive for COVID-19. The announcement yesterday that Ryan O'Hearn and Brad Keller joined Salvador Perez, who have tested positive. Now, Salvi hasn't been with the team, but Brad Keller and O'Hearn have been at Kauffman Stadium. They've been doing these workouts the last couple of days. The good news from their own personal health, very minor symptoms. Brad Keller said it reminds him of just like minor allergy symptoms at this point in time. Salvador Perez put out an Instagram post last night.
So he's feeling good.
So that's good on that. On the baseball into it, very, very troubling.
Three starters,
one, because
yeah.
what we've seen across baseball with some cities and teams having issues with testing. But, yeah, you've got a couple starters, and one is the pitcher. I go back to the pitcher standpoint just to single Brad Keller out, only because from a pure sports standpoint with it, it's already tough in the three-week period to get everybody stretched out, ready to go for opening day. There's a good chance he still could be your opening day starter. But with pitchers, it happens in the regular season. Like, pitchers is the one position, even more than any other, where it's going to be more problematic for franchises if they have one or two guys go down.
Yeah, they've already got one starter, a guy who is definitively going to be in the rotation down, so we'll see. Another cancellation across sports, the Ryder Cup says they will postpone their 2020 tournament. Instead, knock it back to 2021. No real surprise on that end. As we see some of these, like, volunteer World Baseball Classic, Ryder Cup, some of these, like, international events that require a lot of travel, a lot of different players, and significant participation. But whatever, we'll just have it a different year. I'm not surprised to see this be the next victim of that. Obviously, you know, the majors are what golf is still trying to keep intact. They got other issues, still trying to make sure the Masters goes off without a hitch and whatnot. So they'll knock out the Ryder Cup this year and then move on through, you know, following. Especially with the PGA calendar being pushed back a little bit. There's just no reason to try to squeeze this one in.
No question. This was kind of a tough decision, but an easy one that at this point in time. Next up on What's Trending, we know the NBA bubble. Teams starting to arrive down there. July 29th. The WNBA also in Florida. Plenty of issues for both. Specifically, how about the WNBA? Have you seen the photos and the video that went viral a little bit, man? The WNBA is in like the IMG Academy, so they're not down in Orlando. I think they're in Bradenton, Florida. And there are bed bugs at the facilities that the players are staying at. There are mouse traps in the laundry room that the WNBA players are expected to do laundry.
Gross. It looked like the sketchiest Airbnb you've ever rented.
Yeah, I mean, this is like, you think some college dorm rooms are like terrible, like, as far as the setups. This is way worse. It's a professional basketball league. The WNBA, they're dealing with that, and they still got to deal with COVID. And then, as far as the meals go, we've seen some of the photos.
Look at the little fire
food. It's airline food. Yeah.
Someone said it looked like the meal they bought at Hudson News, and I was like, that's it.
What, that's
the one.
$4 bag of chips.
Yeah. They claim in the next 48 hours it'll increase. Teams were allowed to bring personal chefs, so I assume the food will get better in the NBA bubble. Okay. But day one did not look promising.
I think part of the problem, too, is because the way they had to package everything to keep it safe.
It looked really sad.
It's not, you know, a lot of food, if you have it just with inside of plastic, a lot of things don't look all that appetizing versus when it's on a nice plate.
Looks like a hospital.
Exactly.
It is covered with that plastic tray, and I'm like, ugh, do I have to eat this? Lastly, for What's Trending, Brett McMurphy says the Ivy League is set to announce today their move to spring football. We heard rumors about this maybe about a week ago or so. He says they're set to announce it soon. Now remember, the Ivy League does not participate really in the full BCS system. Yes, they have BCS teams on their schedule occasionally, but they will just play a schedule that is a round robin. Play each team one time, crown our own Ivy League champion. Won't care beyond that. According to sources to him, though, he said he doubts the Ivies will have much influence with the FBS schools. They aren't as vulnerable financially. By the way, if you like to gamble, now you get to gamble on football in the spring. I know you're going to be betting some Yale football game in April.
It depends what else is going on. If there's college basketball going on.
You are absolutely going to be betting some Yale football.
I'm trying to think, what's the craziest thing recently I've bet on? I did bet on the Nathan hot dog eating contest, over 72.5 hot dogs. Thank you, Joey Chestnut.
That's the new record.
It is. I'm trying
you
to think. I bet on NASCAR recently. I bet on
you're
golf.
Betting on Ivy League football this
I mean,
spring.
I may or may not have bet on Switzerland soccer the other day. I mean, it's, yeah.
You got
it. It's all over the place.
I assume you're going to be betting on
probably
the Ivies.
It'll be interesting to see. Remember, the Ivy League was the first conference that canceled conference tournaments in March for basketball.
Yeah, so people, and everybody thought it was crazy. Domino? Is everybody going to move to spring football? One source to him saying, not so fast, but I still don't understand how college football is going to get any of this right.
That's What's Trending here on Cody and Gold. Coming up in 20 minutes at 12:30, our Royals insider Josh Vernon is going to join us. We'll get his thoughts on now three positive tests for the Royals organization and just where baseball is at as a whole, and should they continue to move forward based on where testing is at. So Vern going to join us at 12:30. With baseball, we know that was a very public fight between the owners and the players. And
sure was.
Well, I think when that was going on, we mentioned at some point, is the NFL going to have a public fight? Is it going to be financial? Is it going to be health related? And are we at the tip of the iceberg with the latest, which is NFL GMs and head coaches were on calls, first of all, about the start date of training camp and things like that, but also apparently the NFL owners want to put some money aside, put it in escrow, about 35% or so, just in case the season doesn't happen or loss of revenue. It sounds a little familiar what we heard about baseball back in March with that agreement and all that. Not surprisingly, the players not really going for this one. It started with Michael Thomas, Saints wide receiver, of course. He said, everyone's just going to sit out and not play until they get their stuff together before we do this, with a laughing emoji. And then Patrick Mahomes quote tweeted and said, bro, what? With a couple
laughs.
Well,
he just got paid. He's not trying to just give all that
and
up.
And I think it was weird. At first, some people took it as like, people interpreted Mahomes' tweet differently initially.
Oh, as in like, as bro, in like, what people are going
to
sit out?
To Michael Thomas.
And ooh, no, I'm having a hard time.
He meant as in, what? What do you mean they're going to keep our money? What do you mean they're going to keep our money? And then you saw a bunch of agents coming out and saying, yeah, good luck with this. The NFLPA, shockingly, I'm sure you're not surprised to hear this, that they're not on board with this. It is one option on the table if revenue is impacted by league-wide. Yeah, so, you don't want to be giving anybody 35% of your money. Hold on to it. Make some money off your money.
So that's the problem. Nope. The problem is when you have, so it turns out, and most of us will never know this because we're never going to be rich enough to do this, but even if you have a small amount of money, you know, you got like, not small, but you got $50,000, $100,000 set up in CDs across, right? We got some successful businessmen who certainly listen to this show. Your interest allows that money to earn you more money, like you said. They're not saying they'll never give you the money. They're not asking for a 33% pay cut or a 35% pay cut like Major League Baseball owners were asking. But to take that money in escrow, let me just give you a little example of exactly how much money that is. So if you said 35% of all money is being put into escrow so that they can earn interest on it. Now, they're not going to spend it. It's going to be there to pay you the six. This is the difference. So it's 35%, $200 million salary cap per team. Now, that's maxed out, so I'm overestimating a hair. That would be $6.4 billion. Dollars they would keep in escrow. Gold, $6.4 billion. If they left that in escrow for a year, just in a low-risk investment account that earned them 1% or 2%, which is a pretty low yield for $6.4 billion, in an investment account for a one-year term, if they got 1% of the $6.4 billion, they're making hundreds of millions of dollars off of you for free. Just because, like, hey, man, it might hurt us a little bit. So is it cool if we make $100 million off of, you know, the interest rate alone while you just don't have that money for a bit? And the players, reasonably so, are like, no, that's not cool. Between that and the preseason fight, I think there might be a little jawing back and forth between the players and the owners, because everyone is going to try to protect themselves. And while the owners can certainly sustain it longer, I don't feel like I'd want to just be giving them a free $6.4 billion loan.
The only good news here.
Can I get half the escrow? Then let's talk. Can I get half the escrow and really you're just forcing me to save my money for a year? Okay. But if you're not giving me half, why am I even having this conversation?
There's two things that likely will prevent it from getting as nasty as what we saw playing out publicly between baseball. One,
the players have less power.
Sure. But one is the new CBA was just signed in March. I mean, they just got done. There's not an upcoming CBA negotiation like we were seeing with baseball and the fight that's knowingly going to come for that. And also, right now, the games, I won't say, of course, they're in jeopardy, but it's not definitive, right? Baseball got to a point where they knew they were missing, you know, 60 games or 80 and, you know, wherever, yes, 100 games. The NFL owners aren't at that point now. They know they're going to lose revenue because lack of fans or no fans at all, but there's still games. Therefore, the TV money's still coming in. That's the only way.
So much in TV money.
Sure. And that's where things would change. That's why I don't think this would get ultimately to that level. But I don't like that I'm seeing some of this start already coming out publicly a little bit, even if it's just about something that seems as simple as escrow. And hey, when you hand out big contracts to players, they put money in escrow, but that's different. That's a whole different scenario.
They might want to solve this problem. Training camp is supposed to start in 2 weeks. Doesn't even seem viable right now because they don't have anything worked out. Now, baseball is also supposed to start in 2 weeks.
I mean, truly, think of it. In two and a half weeks, we're going to know.
If anything is actually going to pop off, yeah. because I still have some reservations that in the next 6 days, baseball's going to be like, you know what? Shut her down. Like, oh, God. God, like, is anyone else having a hard time imagining NFL training camp starting in 2 weeks?
I've been on the I don't believe we're going to have sports side of the argument pretty much this whole time. And I...
Not that you do.
I think sports will probably happen. I don't think we should have sports, and I would tend to say that it's a bad idea. But the NFL is going to obviously push this, and I don't think it's going to be quite as bad as Major League Baseball was. I don't think that they're going to miss games. There's just too much on the line for the NFL to miss any games.
I do think we see sports start. It's more the finish. Do we get to the finish line on it? I mean, clearly everybody's going to give it a go. And first up is MLS, and they've had a shaky start before it really started, right? With one team being kicked out in its entirety of the tournament, and then you've got baseball in the NBA here at the end of the month. And so, yeah, they're going to give it a go, and it's going to start, but it's what happens 2 weeks down the road from there. You know, as far as the training camp stuff, the one positive looks like the NFL and NFLPA have reached an agreement on travel protocols for training camp and preseason. So we know the owners have cut it from 4 to 2. The players want 0 preseason games.
Want the players to show up early.
They do. I've said this for the last couple of days, Cody. I really believe one preseason game is necessary to see that you can actually execute a plan on the road with teams and make it work. Not that you need it per se.
And nobody's allowed to have fans for it so that it's a break even financially.
Correct. Yeah.
Or
there's concern.
Split the gate if only half the teams.
I think you just need one to make sure you can, okay, how's this going to look? So September 10th, when the season starts at Arrowhead, that, you know, the Texans aren't doing it for the first time, for example. That's why. Now I understand why you would say 0, which is, well, why travel and put anybody at risk earlier than we have to? I just think you need to make sure the plan works, because if we've seen with baseball, you can put these protocols on paper, but if you don't have, let's say, test results actually coming back, things are problematic. So what happens? How do you react? Now baseball found out that wasn't working in some cities. They're trying to find other lab partners essentially to get test results quicker. Okay, that was a big mistake on their part, but hopefully they've got it figured out by the time the season starts. I feel like you need to kind of have some
of
that happening.
One practice game, not just for football, you're saying for COVID. Which is the worst take ever. It's like, hey, we need a dry run of an NFL football game with proper COVID protocols across the board. You're not wrong, but the players see the game itself as a needless risk. Why can't we just run, you know, there are rehearsal dinners for weddings. Why can't there be a rehearsal dinner for the COVID? You know, like, why can't you just do a dry run, fellas? Do we actually need to smack our helmets up against each other for you to test to make sure that these protocols actually work? Or can we all come stand on the sideline in our gear and do a run through? Because we'll take a run through with you, but why are we actually playing the game, exposing ourselves to other players? I think that's actually a fair complaint.
Coming up in about 15 minutes, we'll talk with our Royals insider, Josh Vernier. So there was a story that certainly in Kansas City and across the sports world, I feel like it's getting more attention today, but if we didn't have the Mahomes contract and you didn't have what's going on in baseball right now, if this was a week ago, would be the number one story, perhaps?
I would think so.
In sports, and it has to do with Philadelphia Eagles wide receiver DeSean Jackson. And for those who aren't as familiar with the story, this goes back to a couple days ago in an Instagram post from DeSean Jackson in which he cited a Hitler quote. First of all, it's a fake Hitler quote. So, I mean, okay, like that's...
But not only are you going to use a Hitler quote, but use a
Stephen
fake
Jackson's
one?
Making this whole thing.
Oh, and, so and, much
and,
worse.
And Stephen Jackson, we can get to in a second, although I really have no interest in talking about Stephen Jackson. He has doubled down and tripled down on everything. But essentially, the message was, it was a fake quote from what he thought was Hitler. And it was a very, very anti-Semitic quote, to say the least. And it's something that's been debunked a long, long time ago. And at the time, DeSean Jackson didn't see anything wrong with the quote. The Eagles have since responded and said they spoke with Jackson about his social media post and said, you know, he's, regardless of whatever his intentions were, they're offensive, harmful, and appalling. DeSean Jackson came out with an apology initially, which was more of a, yeah, I'm sorry if I offended you type of apology, right? I'm sorry for those that I offended. And then he went with a third apology that was a little more specific to the Jewish community and those that were offended by this. Look, I think for starters, for me, I think DeSean Jackson is just an absolute moron, if you really want to know the truth, because you are citing something that's not, like, you weren't even smart enough to know that it was a fake Hitler quote. Okay? Like, for, I mean, let alone a actual Hitler quote. That's almost even worse.
And the stupidity of thinking that might be unifying in some way.
Yeah, in his statement, he said, "I apologize. I was trying to uplift and unify." I don't know about you. I don't think that, you know what, those Hitler quotes are exactly where I'm headed to unify people. That's not usually the first reaction I would have.
No.
He's just, he's a moron in this entire thing. That's what's frustrating about it as well, is like, he just flat out, it's just completely, you shouldn't even have to be educated to know that you shouldn't be using a Hitler quote or a fake Hitler quote, but he just uneducated about the whole process. And then you've got, yes, Steven Jackson, who is saying, well, no, DeSean Jackson was telling the truth.
Still today, he is saying those things. He is still perpetuating a stereotype, and I'm not going to repeat it because it doesn't deserve to be repeated, but he's still perpetuating a stereotype of an entire community on an entire, like, for, you know, blaming that on the entire system of injustice that he's for. Steven Jackson has been fighting really hard at the front of the George Floyd movement. There had been people who had been really critical of him just because they're like, you know, just like they're critical of everybody who supports the Black Lives Matter movement. And all he does is, not only does he say racist things about an entire group of people, and then continues to fight for saying those racist things, he also takes away from the support for the other thing that was trying to fight racism. He's trying to say these people, he's being racist to say stop racism. This doesn't make any sense. This is not a good system to employ. And I'm glad, like, again, I'm not going to repeat some of the things he's saying on Instagram Live today. You're more than welcome to go find them. But it obviously purports a lot of stereotypes about the Jewish community. And also their, I don't know, his apparent feeling that that's like that group of people is completely at fault for the entire issues in his, like, in the systemic racism that exists in America.
And that's the part that's, I think,
it's really disturbing stuff. That's incredibly frustrating.
That's the most disturbing part, is because it's perpetuating, you know, stereotypes, but also like beliefs that we're talking years and
hundreds,
years,
hundreds, thousands
of things
Maybe
that
thousands.
Have taken place. I think overall, it's not him in particular, more so just some of the responses I have seen from it as well. Just people aren't as educated about Judaism, for example. I mean, I think it goes to probably an education system more than anything else as well. And,
there's,
you know,
plenty
it's,
of issues
it's not, you know, an institutionalized problem, right? We're not talking about, like, you know, like, for those that don't know, I mean, some of you are like, I am Jewish. I'm not worried about, right, if I'm getting pulled over or walking down this, nobody knows I'm Jewish just walking around. I'm not worried about police brutality or anything like that. It's not on that level of racism. I'm not trying to compare the two whatsoever. But I do think within it, there's a lot of people are like, well, what's anti-Semitic about the comment? I'm like, well, what do you mean? How do you not know what's anti-Semitic? But that's the response I've seen from a lot of people. And I think it's just a lack of education. I thought Jeff Schwartz, former Chiefs lineman, obviously the brother of Mitchell Schwartz, he put out a video last night. I thought it was fantastic in kind of what he described, what is something that is just completely false that was put out there by DeSean Jackson, and then now being backed up and like reaffirmed
by
Steven Jackson. And so that's what's frustrating, and a little bit of frustration that we haven't seen other athletes step up and call this out either.
Well, and this is, yeah, and it's been weirdly quiet, and maybe it's because there was other sports news booming. But yes, Gold, you're absolutely right. I do encourage, by the way, I read Ray Allen's old piece from the Players Tribune today about why he visited Auschwitz. Because a lot of stuff, like we talked about, this is like one of those things, like, if you don't see it, you don't feel like it's real. Educate yourself and you'll find out just how real some of these things are, is what I would generally tell people.
Coming up next, we will talk with our Royals insider, Josh Furner. What did the three tests now that are positive on the Royals mean for the roster going forward? What does it mean for baseball? Next.
Cody and Gold, brought to you by Crossroads Investment Lending. The fix and flip guys at caseylend.com.
Back here on Cody and Gold, coming up in 10 minutes, we'll get to our random question of the day. And could there be a big jump for this player? We'll tell you who said he believes so this upcoming NFL season. But it's time to talk with our Royals insider, Josh Furner. Of course, Vern's Hot Stove, Thursday nights at 6 o'clock. And pretty soon, Vern's got your pregame here on 610 when opening day gets around on July the 24th as they take on the Cleveland Indians. Vern, Well, the schedule is set. Before we get to that, though, obviously much more important matters, which is now three players testing positive for COVID on the Royals roster. The latest, Brad Keller and Ryan O'Hearn. Just your reaction to what we've seen across baseball, really, with testing and some teams even having issues getting those test results.
Yeah, it's disappointing, troubling, but if you want to be the optimistic fan or media member, we could point to the fact that, well, it's the first week, you had to expect there to be a few hiccups in that first week. It should cool out from here on out, right? You've weeded out those with COVID, and they will quarantine and then come back, and then everything should be good, and let's play ball. I can understand that line of thinking. I can understand the pessimistic side. We've had so many conversations this elongated offseason about the two biggest hurdles, right? About the virus and the testing, adequate, reliable testing. If you can clear those two hurdles, everything else will take care of itself. Where I find myself right now, a week into this thing, is still asking, have we cleared those first two hurdles, or are we becoming a GIF and just running into the hurdles and falling over them and tripping, but forcing our way through and past said hurdles? Do we all look like idiots right now? I don't know. I don't know the answer. Nobody knows the answer. We don't know the long-term effects of COVID-19. It's a novel virus. I mean, we're all learning as we go. So, hey, if we're doing it, I'm on board, and I really don't have another choice. But I can see both camps, both ways of thinking.
You know, Marley Rivera had sent out the numbers of the intake testing and then the second round testing, where you feel like, okay, well, I mean, there's still people testing positive. Do we get any kind of sense about how worried the Royals are now that three people in their squad, because it was 66 positive the first time around, that'd be about two per team. They got three right now, so not a crazy number above what would be the league average in this situation. But the three starter part and then like the Salvador Perez, Brad Keller, which seems like a pretty close-knit combination, doesn't seem like too far of a stretch to say that they would have had some close contact. How worried are the Royals about this? And do any of these players even have a sense of if they had it before they got down here or if they contracted it once they got to the facilities?
Well, as far as worried, I haven't sensed really any worry from anyone in the organization from the top down. I've heard respect for the virus and respect for your teammates and your coworkers that we're going to be smart away from the ballpark. They've said all the right things. But as far as being worried about it, no. The players and the coaches, they acknowledge the inherent danger. But they also acknowledge this is their job. This is what they've worked so long for. This is how they earn money and plan on earning money for the rest of their lives. So they're going to go out there and do what they have to do as far as how they're contracting COVID. We haven't had a chance to speak with Ryan O'Hearn or Brad Keller. We did hear from Salvi. He was asymptomatic and unsure how he caught COVID. But, man, I watched Ryan O'Hearn and Jorge Soler have a very impressive batting practice on Friday. So O'Hearn's been there. Brad Keller, his first side session when arriving in Kansas City was caught by Mike Matheny. So these guys have been inside, and now they're outside quarantining. Did they infect someone else while they were inside? Who knows? You hate to speculate. You just hope for the best.
What does this mean about Keller around opening day-ish time? We were, two negative tests. He can't get stretched out the same way. He would have been in the running for opening day starter, we assume anyway. Does this mean he won't be ready to start the season?
I wouldn't completely rule it out. But Jeffrey Flanagan spoke with Dayton Moore yesterday, and it seemed to me, again, this is in print, but Dayton intimated at the fact that it's going to be difficult to get Brad Keller stretched out like a normal starter would be on opening day. But again, this isn't normal. Nothing about this is normal. Do I need my opening day starter to go more than three innings? No, I might not. But all along, even going back to spring, when we would ask Mike Matheny about the opening day starter, he wanted it to be a little bit more of a competition. He wanted Danny Duffy fighting for it. He wanted Jacob Junis believing that he had a shot. Now, a lot of that is just coaching, managing, wanting your players to compete because competition breeds success. But I do think that Mike Matheny has that glimmer in his eye that still so many of us do when it comes to Danny Duffy. You see the talent. You see it coming from the left side. You want him and all of his experience to be your number one. So, you know, let's light that fuse underneath him a little bit more. Could Duffy be the opening day starter? Sure. Is he the front runner? Possibly. But again, in a 60-game sprint, what does a starting pitcher really even mean?
Talking with Josh Vernier, our Royals insider. Vern's Hot Stove coming up on Thursday, tomorrow at 6 o'clock. And we saw, though, out at Kauffman Stadium, I think you were tweeting about it, Vern, Bobby Witt Jr.'s out there with Mondesi. Like, that's something that I know Royals fans have to get excited about, what the future could hold. But what about these young guys? I mean, will the younger guys actually get a chance, do you think, to play this year, considering the circumstances?
I hope not. I hope not because, you know, if we see... Now, I'm not considering Brady Singer, Jackson Kowar, sure, the guys on the precipice of the big league, those young guys, but Bobby Witt Jr., a Nick Prado, a Sully Matias, guys that were in A-ball last year, no, I don't expect to see them in a big league game unless, you know, a catastrophe strikes and 15 to 20 guys come down with COVID. Well, then, yeah, of course, they'll be up in the big leagues. But I wouldn't be surprised to see Singer, Kowar, Khalil Lee. Those would be three names that wouldn't surprise me. They would be one of the first that I would call on if and when an injury pops up. But it has been fun sitting there watching the left side of the infield of Bobby Witt Jr. and Adalberto Mondesi, looking on the right side and seeing Nicky Lopez and Nick Prado. MJ Melendez behind the plate. It's nice to see them in Kauffman, right? We see them a lot in Surprise Stadium, and that's spring training. It doesn't feel like the show. But that yesterday, that intra-squad game and tonight's intra-squad game, and you're playing in a big league ballpark, it feels a lot closer to the show than Surprise Arizona and those hats that they take during spring training.
Other than the COVID-related issues, which obviously there are still plenty to work through over the next 2 weeks, what questions are left to be answered, do you think, for KC? Or is it just, hey, we answered all those at the end of the last spring training. Now we just got to play and find out if they can hang for 60 games. Or are there still things we're trying to find out about them team-wise?
To me, what is interesting is how many arms will be denoted as starting pitchers, right? Like, every fifth day you get the ball, or every fourth day you get the ball. Keller, Junis, Duffy, no doubt. But after that, what do they decide to do with Lopez, with Singer, with even a Mike Montgomery, who for most of his career has been a multiple inning long kind of reliever? As far as the position players and roster battles, none of them are very sensational or salacious, I should say. Like, Bubba Starling, Nick Heath, Brett Phillips, do you keep all three of them on your bench? We still have questions, and Flanny brought this up last week on the Hot Stove Show. What is Michael Franco going to be this year? Is he going to be heads and tails better than Kelvin Gutierrez? But as far as the roster, no, nothing jumps out about what we don't know, what we're curious about. Everyone looks healthy, at least the guys that have been on the field. It's just, what can you do in this 60-game stretch?
Vern, the Royals schedule, we know they open up against the Indians. Their first home game is going to be July 31st, though, against the White Sox. 9 of the first 12 on the road. Normally, I wouldn't analyze the schedule that much, but when you're only playing 60, very important to get out to a quick start. What do you make of how this schedule aligns for KC?
Yeah, I guess I'm curious how much home field advantage matters. got some reaction online of, you know, home and road doesn't matter because there's not going to be fans in the stands. I think it's going to be almost more difficult on the road without fans. Forget the fans. I think the road games are going to be even more difficult because the protocol in other cities is going to be different. You know, hotel rooms being sequestered in your hotel room for a 7 to 10 game stretch. Just sitting there thinking about that 0-3 or this 0-10 that you're currently in. So, yeah, starting out on the road I don't think is advantageous, but just like I, you know, think 60 games helps a team like the Royals because they won't be out of it, I guess I could point to the final week of the season and, right, the final 7 games of the year are scheduled to be in Kansas City. That, to me, is a bonus. So as far as the competition, and, yes, it seems like it's, you know, it sucks that you have to play the Cardinals more than anybody else when it comes to interleague because they're probably going to be a pretty good team. But, you know, a 60-game season in the middle of a pandemic, beggars can't be choosers. We knew this thing wasn't going to be perfect, so I'll take it.
It was the 10 games against the Twins in 17 days that I was like,
yeah,
well, that's a lot of games against the Twins in a short period of time. I guess you won't have any question about what pitches any reliever throws by the time that rolls around. Expect some
that's
offense.
That's true. And you can just sit around and, you know, you hope that that 3-week stretch, 2.5-week stretch that you talk about there, maybe you get Josh Donaldson in a cold streak. Maybe Nelson Cruz is having his one rough patch of this 60-game stretch, because if that happens, that completely changes everything in the division.
Vern, let me ask you, go ahead. I was just going to say, one last thing for me. We asked Danny Welniak, who was on with us earlier, so it's fun anyway since the Patrick Mahomes contract got announced. I am curious what frivolous thing everyone would buy immediately if they had $500 million. Like, I'm not talking about something that's actually like useful, Vern. I'm looking for thing you should never buy under most circumstances but would buy if you had that kind of money.
Oh, I mean, the first thing that comes to mind is a helicopter.
Why a helicopter?
I know traffic isn't bad in the Kansas City area, but I could just get wherever I want so much quicker and not have to deal with bozos on the road. I don't know why, because at first I was just going to say a new car because mine is rough. But if you're talking about something extravagant, yeah. I mean, it doesn't get much more extravagant than a private helicopter.
That sounds better. I mean, keep driving the beat-up car around. And instead, cruise in your helicopter. Who needs to get in the car, right? That's a pretty sweet gig.
Yeah, you're telling me Vern drives an 06 Mitsubishi but has a private helicopter? Wow.
The best possible situation here is if they eventually kick all of us media out of these stadiums, you might have the one opportunity to get some live feed coverage there, Vern.
That's true. That's true. But look, if there's a way, I mean, because I'm talking with the Royals personnel yesterday during that inter-squad game, like, you guys could put this on any station in the city and people would eat it up right now. They're so hungry for Royals baseball, so hungry for local sports. I mean, I would imagine that a lot of people listening right now were glued in to that one camera shot of yesterday's inter-squad game. It probably will be tonight.
Oh, we'll be watching, that's for sure. We'll also be listening tomorrow night. Vern's Hot Stove at 6 o'clock. Thanks, Vern.
All right, thank you.
There you go. Josh Vern, you're our Royals insider. Yeah, the scrimmage video yesterday, inter-squad game.
I watched it for a bit.
Been about 10 minutes or so, checking out. You know, tonight, probably do the same.
I mean, what else?
Well, as you say, why not?
I'm not going to break down the game for you, but if you'd like us, you know, like, I'm kind of curious. Well, and for me, now that they're starting to do night inter-squad games, you can assume you'll be seeing me at the K very soon. I'll be masked up, that's required. But I'll be, you know, kind of want to see some inter-squad baseball. It's like watching baseball practice. I get it, but I've sat through a lot of spring training practice and games, so it's cool. I'm used to it.
Random question.
Today's random question of the day comes from Twitter. This was somebody had run together the top vote getters from every IMDb user. So just the ones that got the most votes. This guy's argument is that this would be, I don't know, a pretty good working list of 50 of the most common movies people have seen. So we're curious, and we've got it up on our Twitter account at CodyBTap, at Alex Gold, and at Steven Serta. So if you want to check out, look at it there. But it came from at Bobby Belt TX, presumably Texas. And it was curious, like, how many of the 50 you've seen. I'm not going to list every name of the movie on there, but they include things like Shawshank Redemption, Dark Knight, the Lord of the Rings movie, Seven, Gladiator, Batman, The Avengers, Goodfellas, Kill Bill, Wall-E, Braveheart, and so much more. And we were just kind of curious, both from you, Smitty's Garage Burger Beer text line, 69306, and then from us, just how many you have seen. Have seen 43 of the 50. I thought, not bad. Some of the ones missing from my list were some of the Lord of the Rings movies. I read the books. I never got around to all the movies, so I never saw those. I never saw The Wolf of Wall Street. I don't know why. I just didn't.
Did you never see Return of the King, the third Lord of the Rings movie?
Nope.
That's the best one.
I've just seen bits and pieces of those. I've never watched the
Lord of the Rings. They're so long.
Return of the King's fantastic.
So I should watch them?
I haven't watched any of them in its entirety.
I've seen the books, I haven't
rewatched them because I don't really like Frodo. And so when it's centered around him, it's hard for me to watch them. But they are all enjoyable movies. And Return of the King is fantastic.
So those are some of the ones that were on my list. That Wolf of Wall Street I never saw. God, there was just like a couple more random ones. For some reason, I never saw Django Unchained.
Really? I just watched that the other day.
It's just some of those, like, you know, ones you didn't get around to seeing, and then I never got back around to see. Avatar was on this list I've never seen.
You didn't see Avatar when it came at the time when that was
Avatar is the number one selling movie of all time until Avengers Endgame broke the record.
It's too late now. I can't.
That's
not true. There's a sequel coming out next year.
I don't want to see that either.
Avatar
is
a stunner.
Too cool. I just don't.
Like 10 years for James Cameron to make the sequel.
And now it's like I got to commit 3.5 hours of my life to watching Avatar. It's like it's just not going to happen. I'm not saying, oh, I'm too cool to watch Avatar. I'm telling you, it's just not going to happen.
At the time, it was such a big deal, that movie. Huge deal. I can't believe you didn't see it in 09. Okay, so you had a decent amount there, 43. I only had 34 of the 50.
34?
I hadn't seen any of the Lord of the Rings, so that bumped me out, four different ones there.
Sure.
And because I'd seen bits and pieces of that. I have not seen Seven.
What?
Yeah, I don't know what that is.
Somebody being made fun of for not seeing Avatar. He's just
1995, Seven, I don't know what that is. I hadn't seen that.
You don't know what that is?
No.
What's in the box?
What?
Oh, that's from that? Oh,
yeah,
okay.
That's from that.
Seven launched David Fincher's career. Yeah. And David Fincher is one of the better directors of our
that's
lifetime.
That's from that? I know the quote.
That's from Gwyneth Paltrow's head.
Okay, so I've seen bits of it. I've seen bits and pieces of it, but I haven't actually watched it.
Okay. I would actually really like that movie.
Okay, I'll check that out. The other one out of that, The Prestige?
Oh, I really liked The Prestige. Yeah.
Not familiar with that.
Christopher Nolan, fantastic.
And then there was
that it was a Christopher Nolan movie. And sort of knew it immediately.
Leon, The Professional.
Yes. Fantastic.
Haven't seen that one.
Sneaky good. I bet a lot of people haven't seen
it. It's got like a 9-year-old Natalie Portman in it.
And then Memento. Those would be
very
just a
young
couple.
Gary Oldman.
Too. Couple. So yeah.
Memento is one of Christopher Nolan's first films.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it's
not
also
his
one of
first one, but one of his earliest.
And one of his more unique storytelling films because it's told from the view of a guy who's working essentially backwards. He has short-term memory loss, and he's trying to find the person who killed his wife. And he has like all these tattoos to try to give himself, you know, hints at how to do it. It's almost like he's working backwards the entire movie.
The first seven on the list were easy ones I had seen, but there was a gap there. Lord of the Rings wasn't a good run overall, and there's a couple throughout. So yeah,
I kind of thought you were gonna say you hadn't seen The Godfathers or something.
No. 34 of the 50 I've seen.
That's
there.
Still a low number, man. What about Wall-E? Did you see that?
Nope.
I saw that.
I don't have kids.
I didn't have kids in 2008, and I saw Wall-E.
It's just a good movie.
No, I haven't seen Wall-E. No need to watch Wall-E.
I've seen every Toy Story movie. I don't have children.
They're good movies.
Yeah, but you grew. That's different though, because you grew up when you were a child. You watch Toy Story, so now it's like you're gonna just like Lion King. I'm gonna watch forever.
I'm pretty sure Wall-E was nominated for an Oscar.
It was, and it was in 2008. I didn't have any kids, and I didn't grow up watching Wall-E.
Well, that's my point. When he said Toy Story, he's like, I watched Toy Story. I said, yeah, because you grew up watching it. Like, sure. It makes more sense.
Serta, I've got 43. You've got 34.
I'm sure.
Out of 50.
Yeah, I've seen all
of course. I mean, everyone? Of course.
Yeah. There's not a single one you missed.
No.
I thought maybe Titanic or something. You just didn't get around to it. I don't know.
I've seen Titanic.
Or the Pirates of the Caribbean movies.
Like, I just can't believe Pearl Harbor or Armageddon's not on this list. So.
Why would they be on this list?
I haven't seen every Pirates of the Caribbean movies. Or maybe I did watch the most recent one. I think I saw the first three, and then I think there's four of them, right? Or is there five?
I don't remember.
I watched the most recent one night when I was drunk and I was like falling asleep. I just turned it on because it was the first thing that I saw.
Those are really the only couple that I feel like I wouldn't have guessed you've seen, because everything else on here feels like it firmly fits inside of like normal movie watching. I can't believe
I shortchanged myself on two. I just realized. I don't think I counted Terminator 2. I don't think I counted that one.
So maybe you're 35.
Maybe it's 35 off
the
list.
The kids' movies and Lord of the Rings you haven't seen. You should also watch Finding Nemo. It's a delightful film.
I've seen Finding Nemo.
Oh, well, I'm sorry.
Yeah, of course I've seen Finding Nemo. I've seen the sequel.
That came out. I mean, that didn't feel like
I was younger.
Weird as Wall-E.
I was younger when the original Finding Nemo came out. Finding Nemo, 2003. I was
middle school,
12 years old.
Well, I guess that's in the wheelhouse. I think the only movie on here that I've only seen once is Shutter Island.
That movie sucked.
Yeah, it just wasn't good.
People are wondering what the list is.
It's really Scorsese's worst movie.
It's the 50 movies with the most number of IMDb user votes. So you based off of votes, popular
Dark
movies.
Dark Knight, Inception, Fight Club, Pulp Fiction.
Yeah, V for Vendetta is on there. The Matrix is on there. Over on the Smitty's Garage Bourbon Beer text line, 913-576-7610. The Avatar ride at Disney is amazing. Someone else mentioning, I will loan my extended version of Lord of the Rings to the station. Since
all right.
Oh, I've watched the extended versions. They're so...
What are we talking, 10 hours? What are we talking, 8 hours?
At Cody B. Tapp, if you want to find the list and guess yourself.
I mean, Return of the King was already like 3 hours and 15 minutes. It's like almost 4 hours on the extended version.
I'm going to have to take more vacation days. All right, I'm going to be off on Friday, fellas. I'm taking Friday off so I can watch a single Lord of the Rings movie. I can't even get through all of them in a single day off. I can get through one.
I would need the whole 4th of July weekend to get through these. Would have needed that weekend just to watch Lord of the Rings or to accomplish that.
I had things to do around the house. So that's how far I got.
So that's a fun list. 50. Yeah, I'm not surprised Serta got to all 50. I would have guessed that. I'm sure most of our listeners would have guessed that as well. Coming up next, we head into the 1 o'clock hour. The Royals with three positive players, players testing positive for COVID-19. And what are the expectations now if you're Mahomes? You sign a $500 million deal. What are you expecting over the next 12?
Cody and Gold, brought to you by Crossroads Investment Lending. The fix and flip guys at caseylend.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.